Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Really good.
It's good to be back here with you again.
Always good on Sunday night.
Exactly.
We've been talking about some serious things the last few weeks. Discipleship, the cost of discipleship, the journey in discipleship that we're all on, or, well, I shouldn't say we're all on, but many of us are on, and I hope more people will be on.
Well, whether you know it or not, you're on a journey.
Yeah, you're on a journey. That's right.
So,
yeah, journeys, you know, there's... The Bible's full of people on journeys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's on a journey.
Yeah.
I always think about Abraham, and, you know, he left the land that he knew to go to a land he didn't know, and he responded to God with, we didn't know how God communicated with him, but he responded to a voice and left everything he had and went, and was a physical journey and a spiritual journey.
Exactly.
Here we are, you know, 4,000 years later or whatever it's been, and we're still talking about Abraham.
Yeah.
because can you imagine old Abraham? If you would have told him 4,000 years from now, people will still be talking about you.
You know, as you say that, though, I'm thinking about what God told them. You know, look up at the
yes,
sky and count the
yes.
stars if you can. He's going to make his descendants as numerous as those.
Yeah.
You know?
But what I really love even more is the last promise, where it says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. And here's a 75-year-old guy who's living in current-day Iraq going, oh, okay, what does that mean? And then he follows God's plan. He does God's will. He obeys. You know, he believed that it was counted as righteousness.
Right.
And right down to being willing to sacrifice his son. After he was told he was going to have all kinds of descendants, and he only had the one descendant. But because those of us that are Gentiles and we're not physically related to Abraham, he's our spiritual father.
Right.
Because his ultimate descendant, Jesus the Messiah, brings salvation to us too.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's our spiritual father because Messiah came from him. So I think that's pretty cool.
It is. It is. You know, you bring up a good point because we live in a physical world and a spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly people see the physical world because they can see it and, you know, they can function in it.
Yeah.
But there's a spiritual realm that we live in as well that because you and I aren't, you know, physically related through blood relatives. But we are spiritually related because we both believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
We've both been baptized into the faith. We are both members, part of the new and eternal covenant. So we're members of the body of Christ, the household of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that, you know, I know that years ago you would hear people say, you know, you're my brother and sister in the Lord. I hear very little of that now because there's all this hyphenated stuff in our society and there's all this, well, you know, individualism in our society. And it really tears down and tears at the fabric of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Especially if I, as a believer, am not rooted in the teachings of Jesus Christ and my conscience is well formed and built on the mind of Christ, if I can say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I, one thing I liked after I became a believer was the fact that when you couldn't remember somebody's name, you could say, hey, brother, how you doing? And then the guy didn't know whether you remembered his name or not. Anyway, but, I was, that's true. And I was going to add, this isn't today's show, but it kind of leads into it. You know, Jesus addresses the fact that when Abraham saw my day, he rejoiced in it.
Mm, yeah.
And they said, you're not even 50 years old and you know Abraham? You know, and Jesus could have said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do know him. And if I wanted to, I could show you where he is right now. And if I wanted to, I could bring him here right now so you guys could talk to him. I'm not going to do that, but I could if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that he says he saw my day and rejoiced.
Yeah.
And the Greek means he leaped for joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Abraham got this promise of all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly imagine what that meant. But somehow, maybe it was when he died, maybe it was some vision or some word he was given. Mm-hmm. When he saw what Messiah was going to do, his descendant, and that the whole world was going to be blessed through this, including us lowly Gentiles, Abraham was so excited, he leaped for joy. And this is the thing now where, and you've probably all experienced it in your own lives, you know, when you meet the Lord for the first time and you're all excited and everything is new to you and you start studying the scriptures and, you know, you get so caught up in the joy and happiness of it. And, you know, a little bit of that fades as time goes on. But, during our shows on discipleship, you know, I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but that's the kind of thing that should motivate you to continue being a disciple.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know. This is pretty hard what I'm doing now. Because this joy of the faith that you now have and this joy of knowing salvation and the joy of knowing the Lord, well, the old term, the joy of the Lord, which is, you don't hear that much anymore either.
Yeah.
But,
that's true.
This is what motivates you to become a disciple. And on the last show, you know, Jesus was telling them, you know, you got to kind of count the cost of what you're going to do if you're going to follow me. Cause, you know, it's not going to be always an easy trip.
Yeah.
And in our time, because as we have been saying, we're a remnant now.
Mm-hmm.
We're a remnant. I mean, churches have fallen away. Evangelists have fallen away.
Yeah.
Famous pastors and church leaders have fallen away to the point where, you know, some of them say, you know, we don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about sin anymore. You don't have to worry about law anymore. Even the Ten Commandments don't apply to us anymore, because instead of me following Jesus, I'm having Jesus follow me now. And so I'm going to go through my life and Jesus is going to be, you know, you hear people say, oh, Jesus has my back. That makes me crazy. You know, like he's following me now.
Yeah.
And, if I say, hey, I need a new car, Jesus says, that's no problem. What kind would you like? Or I'd like a bigger house. That's no problem. What would you like? Just tell me. And people now have come to the point where the individualism that you were talking about is now applied to their spirituality, where we know that God loves each one of us and wants each one of us to be saved and that Jesus died for us. But now we've come to the point where, hey, he's going to do whatever I tell him. He's
yes.
going to be my cosmic bellhop. So I can tell him exactly what my needs are, and they're all going to be met. And this is, you know, commonly called the name it and claim it faith, or the health and wealth, or the prosperity gospel, I mean, whatever you want to call it. This is, and, you know, you may hurt people's feelings by saying this, but it's okay. That is not the description of discipleship. That is not the description of how you follow. That's not a description of, you know, deny yourself. Because in a lot of this philosophy, you're promoting yourself.
Yeah.
And you're telling other people, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus now, so I've got it made.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, a lot of people, there's a tendency to not have good discernment in those who profess to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what I mean by that is that Jesus isn't a shopping cart. He's not a gift basket.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a gift card that never runs out. His mercies are endless. His faithfulness is endless, and his love is eternal for you. But we are called to follow the path of righteousness. We are called to follow the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And he tells us that if you wish to be my disciple, if any one of you wishes to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
The two brothers of thunder, James and Zebedee, Lord, let us sit one at your right and one at your left. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I have to be baptized with?
Yeah.
Yes, we can, Lord. In their zeal, they knew not what they asked for.
Yes.
And Jesus' response is, you will be baptized with the baptism I have to be baptized with, but for me to give you, you know, for you to sit on one on my right and one on my left is not for me to give you, but it's only that of my Father to give
right.
you, you know, to give, or as has already been preordained. So, this feel-good theology that permeates the culture, and one of the things is discerning light from light.
Mm-hmm.
Discerning true light from a false light. And in our culture today, there's people that will say things, but their actions say something different.
Mm-hmm.
But we believe their words more than their actions.
Yes.
And then sometimes there's people who try to discern the intentions of somebody's heart, and they're way off base because they really don't know. It is increasingly difficult for people to discern the light. And there's only one source of light, and that is God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan can mimic and want to think that he's, you know, want you to think that that's the light. But he will also trick you into thinking that it's the light and then take you down a path that is not of God. And the difference is pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to follow God, you have to have a lot of humility. A lot of, you know, to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow the Lord means, Lord, I'm abandoning everything to you.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that, hey, man, you got my back.
Yeah.
I know that whatever I do, you're going to bless.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
you're going to accept my plan.
Yeah.
I know you're going to love it.
You know, I was praying the morning prayers this past week or two ago. And this was Psalm 33.
Mm.
And beginning at verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world show him reverence. For he spoke and it came to be, commanded and it stood in place. And at this, what I'm going to read next, the Lord gave me a really clear vision of what's taking place. The Lord foils the plan of nations, frustrates the designs of peoples.
Mm.
But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the designs of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people chosen as his inheritance.
Mm.
If you look what's happening across our nation, across our culture, in our world, there's this one move towards a new world order.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, in different countries, there is all this is being upset by different people that have been elected and have put this so-called block or wrench into this plan, the plan of the nations.
Yeah.
So can we discern light from a false light? You know, nothing against used car salesmen. They can get you to buy they can get you to buy a car, whether it's working or not.
Yeah.
You know, and it, not that it's not working, but, you know, the art of salesmanship is to sell.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't come to sell you something and buy into it.
Yeah.
He offers you salvation free of charge.
Yes. Yes. And yes, he answers prayers, and prayers are answered, and we all have experience with that. But that is not the primary thing. And I was looking for a scripture, and I just found it when I was talking before about, you know, there's actually evangelists now who say, well, nothing about the law applies to us, even the Ten Commandments, because, you know, we're all, you know, we're all saved by the grace and we're all getting all the stuff. But John, St. John, who, as you know, wrote an awesome gospel and also, I hope you know, wrote three letters. In 1 John, it says, chapter 1, verse 3, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, mm-hmm. and the truth is not in him.
Yeah.
But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we're going to fall. We're not going to keep his commandments all the time. But we have to strive to keep his commandments.
Yeah.
And we have to strive for holiness. And as we always say, it's not a 100-yard dash.
Right.
It's not over in 9.9 seconds. Yeah. You know, some people have a walk that's, you know, 90 years long, and some people have a walk that's 12 years long, and mm-hmm. some people have a walk that's 58 years long, you know, however long your walk is going to be.
Yeah. You know, one of the things as you're talking about that is, and there's some of our elected officials have great passion for children and those that are separated from their families and, mm-hmm. Because they're all about protecting the children. Yet, in the same breath that they profess that, they also support late-term abortion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To destroy children.
Yes.
And this is what I mean: a true light from a false light. Anybody who reverences, and you know wants to protect life and God's creation. Isn't going to do such things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Anybody who cares about life isn't going to do such things. Mm-hmm. But somebody whose evil intent in their heart is to do something different will tell you one thing and then go and do something else. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple matter of looking at what kind of fruit is being born from that tree.
Exactly.
And what does that person stand for? What does that person stand for? What does this person stand for?
Yes.
You're not going to find a perfect person because the only perfect person there was crucified. Mm-hmm. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But if somebody says that they champion for this person or this, you know, segment of the population, but then they champion for the destruction of that population,
mm-hmm.
they're a liar.
Yes.
And
truth is not in that.
And, you know, some people say, well, you're being very judgmental. No, judging is saying that that person's going to go and spend the rest of their eternity in hell. Mm-hmm. That's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what most people are talking about. You're judging the actions of a person because what they say and what they do does not measure up to what they are telling you.
Yes.
And we all have to make those discernments and those judgment calls throughout life, because if somebody walks into a bank and says, I'm here to take all your money, and you say, well, you're here to rob the bank. Well, no, I'm not. I'm just here to borrow some money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's, as you were saying that, I was thinking, if a politician professes to be an atheist and says, I'm an atheist and I support late-term abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you say, well, but when somebody comes forward and professes their faith,
mm-hmm.
like so many of these politicians, I'm a Roman Catholic and I go to mass every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I also believe that the Lord would approve of late term abortion because, and you have to sit there and look at these people and say, what in the world is he or she talking about?
Exactly.
How can
exactly.
you, like somebody made fun of it on Facebook by saying, I'm no priest or anything, but I'm pretty sure late-term abortion is not doing the Lord's work.
Exactly.
And it's not funny, but, you know, at the end of Romans, it says, you know, when you're professing yourself to be wise, you become a fool.
Yeah.
These people are saying foolish things.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wonder, does that person have, you know, he or she says they go to mass every Sunday, quote unquote. Do they have somebody there at that church who says, excuse me, Can I talk to you for a minute? Or when a group of pastors goes to an abortion clinic and to bless the place, does somebody say, excuse me, you guys, can we just talk for a minute?
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about discerning light, you know, the light of, well, this is the woman's choice. You know, that's their light.
Yeah.
The consequences of that, they don't even see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you describe, and I don't want to talk about politics, but this is above politics. This is mm-hmm. a moral issue. This
right.
is not talking about the tax rate or, you know,
right.
the tariff or something. This is moral law.
Right.
That if you follow what it says in the Bible and you say, well, I'm going to go bless the abortion clinic and, oh, I'm going to have same-sex weddings at my church and, oh, I'm going to do this whatever. Somebody needs to stand up and say, but wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is inconsistent.
Right.
You're not following God's law. You're saying that you are, but you're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. when you're certainly not going down the road of discipleship. And I don't care about being politically correct. So if you want to send me an email, I don't
yeah.
care. But the question always is, how did we go off track like this? We were talking about this earlier today. Before we came to the studio, about this kind of demonic darkness that's kind of permeated everything. And, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says when Satan knows his time is short, he gets very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing that now.
Yeah, I would.
And I think this is another way to know Jesus coming back soon.
I hope.
Yeah, I hope it's today, like I always say. But, you know, Satan knows his time is short.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to look back, and somebody was given a sermon on like the recent gun violence, and it's tragic
yes.
because life has been taken. God does not rejoice in the destruction of his creation.
Amen.
But all life is precious.
Mm-hmm.
You can't champion one side and go, that life lost is greater than this life lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because every innocent child in the womb that is taken from its mother is being killed. I don't care how many laws you pass to try and make it legal or not. You're killing an innocent person. Conception begins at the moment of, or life begins at the moment of conception. It's in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
A baby is not the same as a teenager. A teenager is not the same as adult, but yet they're still a living being.
Mm-hmm.
Scientifically, when a heartbeat starts to, you know, when a heart starts beating inside the mother's womb, is that not life?
Mm-hmm.
There would be no heartbeat if it was a stillborn. So scientifically, you can prove this.
Mm-hmm.
But yet those arguments are, they don't want to, you know, people don't want to hear those arguments because it doesn't fit their agenda. And that's the lie that is being told. And that's the lie that is being accepted mm-hmm. by many people, even in the church.
Yes.
Even in the body of Christ.
Yes.
So, you know, when these things are present before us, we need to really step back and look at what do I believe and why do I believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people will align their political beliefs more with the church than they believe the gospel of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of,
yeah,
it makes a lot of gray area. It muddies the water for people to discern and know the truth.
Well,
God's truth is eternal.
Yeah.
Man's truth is fleeting.
Yes. You have churches that seriously worry that if they take a stand on something that's very sensitive or something that's deemed to be political,
yeah.
they're going to lose their tax-exempt status.
Right.
And I always maintain to that pastor, and I've said this in numerous churches and a couple times I've been yelled at, I've said to these pastors, you know, when you die, Jesus is not going to say to you, wow, you did a great job on keeping your tax exempt status.
Mm-hmm.
That was very impressive. You saved a few thousand dollars on taxes.
Yeah.
I say, take up a couple extra collections and preach the truth. Is this music already?
It is.
I haven't even looked at my notes yet. Oh, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the blessing of the Lord would come upon you and the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon you to separate the light from the darkness and to discern light, true light, from a false light in this time that we live in. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.